It's Mike Shope.
This guy's a real jerk.
And the Bulldog.
I'm sort of anal retentive, OCD kind of whack job.
On WGR.
Wow, way to hype us up right there. I can't miss another minute of this show. Bills and Dolphins, Sunday, Week 9. Always a pleasure to welcome Armando Salguero to the show. He joins us now on the Wester Hotline. Do you feel like we've typecast you by only calling you, and it's pretty much every time when it's Miami? You cover the whole league. I mean, you know, a long time ago, this is our Dolphins guy, but Armando, you've spread your wings since then.
You know, I was thinking about that since last night, and maybe for several days before, because you guys are the only thing that I think about. And I was thinking maybe they'll ask me about Anthony Richardson, and that would make sense because it's not the Dolphins, it's not the Bills. But then I thought Anthony Richardson was born in Miami, so once again,
yes. Mm-hmm. And the Bills play them next week, by the way.
There you go. But either way, I'm typecast.
I do want to ask you about Richardson. I planned on it,
and still. I'm typecast.
Yes. We'll start with Tua. You know, here, I hope you like this. Tua is like maybe the example of a quarterback who was pulled like this, but then got there, you know, to whatever extent you want, however you want to define that. But did get back in, did get his money, has been to the playoffs. And one thing you're hearing a lot with Richardson is that, you know, the odds are not good for him to ever sort of get that opportunity from the Colts. Same kind of thing with Bryce Young. What kind of example does Tua represent in this?
Not a great one for Anthony Richardson, because Tua, you'll remember, struggled mightily under Brian Flores, right? The mm-hmm. coach who was part of the regime who drafted him number 5 overall. Flores tried to trade for Deshaun Watson to replace Tua. Yikes. and so one of the reasons that Flores and general manager Chris Greer had a falling out was Tua. When Flores was fired, the team embraced Tua and hired a coach who embraced Tua sight unseen. And the rest is history. You know, Tua obviously now is a much better player than he ever was under Brian Flores. The reason I'm giving you that picture is because it's hard to believe that Anthony Richardson can stay in the same system, under the same coach, with the same general manager, and suddenly get different results. And he would be, I think, the one who does that, because I can't think of anyone else who has been able to do that. Typically, a quarterback who succeeds either starts right away and overcomes the early struggles and just gets better, a.k.a. Josh Allen, or he is struggling early and goes somewhere else and then figures it out, a.k.a. Baker Mayfield, or he just sits for 3 years and then comes on and plays well. And those are the Jordan Loves and the Aaron Rodgers type mm-hmm. of people.
Well, maybe the only way that maybe he stays there but gets the new regime is if this play to Flacco blows up on Ballard and Steichen, and maybe they all get fired and a new regime comes in and says, Anthony Richardson is our quarterback.
Correct. And look, the chances of that happening are solid. And the reason I say that is because I've seen Joe Flacco throughout his career, and it's not 2011 anymore. Okay. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2014. And, you know, he's getting this reputation as this great come off the bench, backup guy, come off the couch, you know, mm-hmm. save the season guy. Joe Flacco is very good in small sample sizes, but when you make him your quarterback, which is what Shane Steichen kind of did today, in that it's not that he's the quarterback for right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's the quarterback for the foreseeable future. That means we're sticking with him for a while. They'll learn. Joe Flacco in bigger sample sizes is some good and some bad. And if you get to the playoffs, you have a certain ceiling, and it ain't the Super Bowl.
You might, I'm guessing you will maybe disagree with me here on this, Armando, but also on Richardson, was it the move to leave the field that cost him his job here? We've talked to different people here since then, and anybody you listen to seems to say the same thing, which is like, yeah, I've never seen that before, you know, for a quarterback to take himself out of the game. But I just want to put it out there. Like, it is an era where players do this. Running backs come out of every game. It's sort of par for the course, different for QB. And with the cautiousness about injuries that's out there, Richardson is somebody who would be well aware of this, having been injured a few times already in his young career. I don't know. When he spoke after the game and admitted that that's what he did, to me that just sounded like a guy who didn't realize that was such a terrible, you know, quote, terrible move.
Fair. And, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, who play the Colts this week, Brian Flores is their defensive coordinator, and he talked yesterday about that moment in preparation for Anthony Richardson, and this is what he said. He said, what I saw was a guy who pushed a 300-pound defensive lineman out of the way and then ran on that play, and was very athletic and was just beat. And so there's not a lot of quarterbacks who can just push 300-pound defensive linemen out of the way, basically almost lifting them off of him, and then run around for, you know, 30 yards or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I assume, I haven't done it because I'm not even going to walk to the kitchen here after this interview. I assume that takes a lot of energy and it gasses people, especially late in the game. Having said that, the Colts say that this had nothing to do with anything.
I don't buy that for a second.
Neither do I.
I think their quarterback basically told the world he doesn't know how football works. Like, I respect all that. Like, we are in an era of protecting guys more and all that. Everything Mike said. But quarterback, and he didn't say it is not running back or receiver or any other rotational position. And for Richardson to be so ignorant of that makes me wonder, what else are they experiencing in Indianapolis with him as their quarterback that he doesn't know? Because, like, that is a very entry-level, obvious thing that I would think a quarterback would know. And if he doesn't, it begs the question, what else doesn't he know? And is this just, like, the tip of an iceberg for them?
It's all fair and probably true. And you know what I would say to you? That's what they signed up for. They signed up for picking a guy who had started 13 games at the University of Florida, which is not enough, and then in his rookie season was out after 6 games. And now after 6 starts this season, you're benching him. So it's a quarterback that needs experience, that needs reps, that needs starts, and you're upset that he needs reps and needs experiences and needs starts, even though that's the guy that you drafted and you knew that's what you were getting.
Armando Salguero, our guest. You have somebody to go to the kitchen for you, get you your sun tea or something like this? You're living that well, by the way? I mean,
yes, I have a built-in manservant.
Yeah.
And no.
Yes.
How about those Tesla robots? How about those things?
Oh, from the Metris to the Tesla robots. Armando's been with us many times over the years. Longtime Dolphins writer, now national writer, Outkick for Fox. Also a voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and All-Pro. I'm just reading right off your bio here, Armando, like I don't know this stuff. The Bills, so we talked before week 2. And I'm sure we covered this and maybe also previous to the season starting. Like, there are questions about this Bills team that we haven't had before. But here they are almost halfway through with a 3.5 game lead in, an AFC East that is kind of in shambles otherwise so far. makes for just that big a game for Miami here on Sunday. Are you surprised? I want to think impressed with what the Bills have done so far, and then we'll get into the Dolphins.
I'm surprised, and I'm impressed, and I am kicking myself because. So back way, way long ago, Cub reporter Armando covered the University of Miami in the late 1980s. And in 1988, that roster was loaded. They had, I think, 13 or 14 future first-round draft picks in the NFL. And they went to some bowl game and got blown out, I think, by – it was in the Fiesta Bowl by Penn State. They got beat by Penn State.
Okay.
In 1980, the next year – was that 86 or 87? In 1987, the next year, they weren't quite as loaded. They weren't quite as talented. But you know what? On the field, they were better. They didn't have the expectations on them. They didn't have the pressure. They didn't have all these other things, and they just got along better, and there was no divas. And a bunch of other stuff that matters, too, was going on beyond talent. And they won the national championship. And so I'm not saying that the Buffalo Bills, in a so-called rebuilding year with maybe perhaps less talent than what they've had, are going to win the Super Bowl. But it's sometimes easier to deal with stuff when you don't have to throw the ball to Stephon Diggs, 10 times or whatever. When you don't have to worry about whether Micah Hyde's neck is okay. When you don't. You know, all these other things that come with the names. And so maybe that's just what's going on with the Buffalo Bills.
Well, we did see Kansas City turn the trick 2 years in a row. In neither year did they look like the best team in the league going into the playoffs. Well, I guess actually 2 years ago they probably kind of did. It was just that it was expected that it would be kind of like this year for the Bills after trading Tyreek Hill, but they managed to win it both times. So I don't know, maybe there's some lesson in that, or maybe it's just a bunch of coincidences here. But yeah, I mean, the losses were obvious. The additions, I mean, Keon Coleman's sort of breaking through already here, Armando, just, eight games in. And Amari Cooper to supplement is a fine idea as a Diggs replacement. If they had traded for Amari Cooper the day after they made the Diggs trade, we'd be like, okay, the receiving core's all set. You know, it took them until October to do it, but they got there.
Please ask me an Amari Cooper question because he's also from Miami.
Yes, I was going to say.
Further typecasting.
Coleman being only from Florida State, so not quite close enough to.
Yeah, not the same.
Not the same. Going into last week with Tua coming back, I thought you look at the AFC. There are going to be 7 playoff teams. We're talking about Indianapolis here, like teams like Denver. There's room for somebody that has had a tough first half, Cincinnati, maybe 2 teams to get in. So I like the idea of the Dolphins just starting fast last week with his return and, making it interesting, at least. What did last week's loss to Arizona, which was a 1-point loss, but did that signify something? Like, is that kind of like forget it after a loss like that or no?
Well, it's not forget it, and it doesn't signify anything great because the narrative in South Florida was we're getting Tua back, and so the national nightmare is over. We're going to score some points. We're going to win some games, and maybe we can string and stack a few, and things are going to be just fine. Thank you very much. And then the fourth quarter came, and they didn't score or keep the ball long enough on their, final possession with the lead. And then they punted away to Arizona, who then went on like a 6-minute game-winning drive. So that is bad. The results, they scored more points than they had all season, but they ultimately didn't produce in crunch time on offense, and then they wilted in crunch time on defense. And you have to understand the context is this is a team that last year was 1-6. against teams with winning records, including the playoffs. And this is a team that this year, once again, against good teams, it's losing. And now it's losing against mediocre teams.
Yeah.
So, they could maybe do something, but oof. Nothing that we've seen suggests that that's going to happen.
How hard, if at all, would you have you been on McDaniel for not being able to figure out a way to just get the ball to Hill and Waddle, even without Tua there? I mean, I know any team that has a quarterback at that level, the Bills without Josh Allen, but we've seen backups, at least the coaches in the schemes make them functional. It seemed like the Dolphins just could not put anything together, and it felt like McDaniel was maybe catching some heat for that.
He was. Fans are, who were loving McDaniel as late as last season are kind of, off that bandwagon. I was pretty hard on Chris Greer because they decided we have a quarterback that's had, two concussions, and we don't know. We've seen him in that position on national television. We know what the problem is. We know what it can look like without him. And their answer to what if the worst happens was, we trust Skylar Thompson. And then Skylar Thompson was put in the position to actually earn that trust, and he failed miserably. Meanwhile, in the offseason, guys like Flacco and others were going hither and thither to different teams as backups, veteran guys with experience who expected to be backups and could be, kind of a sounding board to a veteran. They all went different places. The Dolphins kept or stayed with Skylar Thompson. So he failed, and then they're looking in Baltimore's practice squad for Tyler Huntley, and then shockingly he failed. And when you have a quarterback with three concussions now, it might be a good idea to have a solid plan B just in case, and they didn't have it.
Dolphins in those four games scored 40 points, and if you include the second half against the Bills back in week two, they didn't score any points in that half either after Tua was injured. Armando, it is 73 and sunny here today. There's a Buffalo guy for you bragging on the weather, when we're sort of self-conscious, but I mean, it's a perfect day out.
You guys know I love Buffalo, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you get up here for these games anymore?
Well, not this early in the season, and certainly not against when the Bills are playing the 2-5.
Yeah. Yeah. Better games.
There
better games this
games.
Week. Right. Right.
What's the best
there
game you've been to this year?
Other teams to be playing this year.
What's the best game you've been to this year?
Wow. I love the opener. The opener.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore and Kansas City. The Chiefs, man. I just love the Chiefs. I know that is blasphemy in Buffalo, but they just know how to win. And it doesn't matter that the world's best quarterback, sorry, Josh, is throwing more interceptions than touchdowns. It doesn't matter that the tight end is busy dating a rock diva or whatever she is, and is having his age show a little bit. All they do is, the kicker is giving speeches that's freaking people out. None of that matters. Their running yep. back gets hurt. None of that seems to matter. What do they just do? They just win. It's uncanny. And it's pretty impressive, too.
I have to agree. Armando, as always, thank you for being so generous with your time. Can't wait to talk again.
All right, man. Be well.
Maybe we'll call you when the Bills are going to play Minnesota sometime.
Right.
Armando Salguero on the West Her hotline, just to mix it up.
Right.
That Flacco point, it is about the backup quarterback you bring in. And the better he is, this is the Colts thing mm-hmm. too, the better he is, the sooner people are going to be to look the other way, try to figure out if they maybe is better at the fans, the media, somebody better on the team. Your point about how the Bills didn't, Cam Newton, Bills did not do that with Allen. And, of course, that can work either way, right?
Sure. I mean, it can save your season if the guy just completely is a bust. But it can also... I understand why people are, I've got a theory about what's happening with this guy. It is fast. I mean, he's not played a lot, and you do have a lot invested in him with the draft status. So the appearance, if not literally that it's happening, of pulling the shoot on him this soon, I mean, it's not organizationally super smart, but it might be warranted.
803-0550 for your calls. What's the most promising sign about the Bills season so far? Sal Capaccio will join us at 5. Lines are open for you now. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.